And then this morning we have our favorite Donovan. He's with us. Where's Sammy? Sammy, you had that. I'd love to just ask Sammy to share this word that she felt. So I feel like there's an intimacy this morning that God wants to just bring us close. And
I was just reading Psalm 24 yesterday, and it came up to me in the worship the whole time, so I'm going to share it. Psalm 24, verse 3 says, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god." And then I was chatting to Don about it, and then he said, well, in Hebrews 14, 12, oh, this is why I've got him. In Hebrews 12, it speaks of the mountain of fear and the mountain of joy. And the mountain of fear was the mountain that Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments. And it was petrifying. The people were so scared. They didn't want to come close to the mountain. But now, in Hebrews 12, verse 18, it says, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice. You have come to Mount Zion," not Mount Sinai, Mount Zion, "to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." How blessed are we that we get to approach the mountain of Zion, God's holy mountain, and that we have access, that we will not die if we touch this mountain, but that we have been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. And now we may approach God's throne with confidence, and we may each experience the holy presence of the God who created all.
Amen. And now Mount Donovan. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray that your words would flow through him. Give him strength, Father. Be with him, guide him. Be every word that comes out of his mouth, Lord. And give us just receiving hearts to hear what you are saying. What you are saying, Lord. Let us be attentive and receptive in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, good mornings. Good mornings. Hey, guys. You guys, well. Yes, I just want to say Dan played drums this morning, guys. Absolutely rocked it. I'm blessed. I'm not going to tease the other drummers. Okay. Let's start. Let's jump in. So I want to talk this morning about prayer. And about the prayer life of Jesus. What we can learn if we listen to what he taught on prayer, how he prayed, and his actual prayer life, looking at those three things. So in December 1992, I was 8 years old. My dad led me to the Lord with a simple prayer one evening. And I gave my life to the Lord. And one of the first things that my dad taught me was to pray. Pray. He said, you take your Bible, you take your notebook, you get a pen, you go into your room, you open your word, you read the word, you pray the word. And it was a simple thing where we learned that devotion to God actually means devotion with him. So my prayer life started as a young boy. Obviously, it was short and sweet in those days, but super helpful, building a life of prayer. We morning by morning, we would get before alone with God. Usually, it was a 15-minute little slot. We had breakfast as a family together. We would usually read some scripture, and then we would pray some prayers as a family together. We would have them printed out, literally. Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, we would pray that. Psalm 23, The Lord is my shepherd. And some prayers that Paul would pray to the churches, like Ephesians 1 verse 17 to 19, the spirit of wisdom and revelations, that our hearts may be enlightened. Ephesians 3, that we will be rooted and grounded in love. Philippians 1, that we will abound more and more in the knowledge of Him. We pray these prayers. Colossians 1 verse 9, that we will be filled with the knowledge of His will. We pray these prayers morning after morning. And I just remember it initially it didn't mean much to me. But years later, I started to, these scriptures would become my language in prayer. And this morning, I want to encourage us, as we've got a whole Bible full of prayer, but I want to specifically look at the life of Jesus this morning. And firstly, I want to tell you guys that you and I are made for prayer. You are made for prayer. Maybe take a moment there. Like, say, it's good to tell yourself, I am made for prayer. Prayer is about the presence of God. And I love this morning, thanks, team, what a special time, just getting before the throne. But prayer is about the presence, and the presence is all about the person. We gotta keep our eyes fixed on the person. And when we think of the person, we're going to push a bit into the Father this morning. I actually didn't realize it's going to be Father's Day. So this is wonderful. Happy Father's Day to our Heavenly Father this morning. And we get to pray to our Father through God, the Son, by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So in every prayer that we pray, we've got God the Father involved because we're praying to Him. Jesus taught us, when you pray, pray our Father. I want to read 1 John verse 3 verse 1. Did I say that right? 1 John 3 verse 1. That's good, eh? See how very much our Father loves us. For He calls us His children, and that is what we are. We are His children. So if you are a Christian, if you are saved, that makes you a child of God. Not just a foster child, but a child. Bob's your uncle. I mean, Jesus, no, who's your uncle? Don't forget about Bob. Bob's not your uncle. So when Jesus said, so listen to this. So when Jesus said, when you pray, go to your Father who is in secret. And he teaches His disciples, teach us how to pray. He say, when you pray like this. And I want to start with this prayer this morning, Matthew 6, verse 9. I'm going to do it out of the New King James. Okay, you guys ready for some King James? Just some classic Christian language. We're going to do it in an American accent. Are you guys with us? The British boys, you can say dance, but I will dance like David. Okay, in this manner, let's go. Our Father in heaven. Can we pray together? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Sorry, quick interruption. That means holy. You guys with us? Holy. Let's start again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So the Father is the one we come to, and Jesus taught us to pray this way. And Jesus then tells us, when He prays to His Father in John 17, verse 26, He says, I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. So as children, Jesus' desire is to reveal the Father to us. So I want to pray even this morning as we look at these prayers that the Father will be revealed to us. I will continue to do so. And listen then your love, Jesus is saying to His Father, then your love for me will be in them. This is big stuff happening right there. And I will be in them. And then in John 15:7, Jesus said, but if you then, Just see how this builds up. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. That's good news. Come on. God actually wants us to ask for stuff and he wants to give it to us. And then, listen to this. And then when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this will bring great glory to my Father. So our prayer life is supposed to be something like this. Firstly, Jesus reveals the Father to us. Then his love comes into us. Jesus is in us. We in him, his words remain in us. And then when we start to ask things out of this place of him being in us, me being in him, his words remaining in us, then we start to pray his very words. And then he starts to grant those words back to us. And what happens then? Then we produce much fruit. And then we show the world that we are truly his disciples and our lives become actual testimonies. And what then? Great glory to the Father. Great glory to the Father. So Jesus is inviting us into this type of lifestyle. And this morning we want to say, how do we get this right? Okay, so we can't just stop there, obviously. But an amazing little thing, John 16:23, Jesus said to them, you haven't up till now, but I'm going to tell you something now. I want you to from now on go directly to the Father, and I want you to ask in my name. So now we know when we pray, we go to the Father, and we ask in the name of Jesus. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus, because Jesus said, from now on, you can ask in my name. So Jesus is the way. He's the door. He's the narrow gate that Dan was preaching on the last couple of weeks. He is literally the password, the secret source, the code. You cannot get to the Father without Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. He's the guy. So every prayer that you pray, you're going with Jesus, your older brother. The Bible calls him the firstborn among many brethren. So it's like the sibling vibe. It's like my kids do it all the time. They bring their brothers with because they know it's a bit of a stronger plea when they come, Papa, we. Our Father, we would like to go for a surf, or we would like to play on the Xbox. We would like to have some this or that. We. So every time we come to our Father, we come with Jesus and we say, Jesus, let's ask the Father. I want to walk in more grace. I want to walk in your will. I want to do these things. I want to see your kingdom. It's we coming with Jesus. Amen. But now there's the third. Hold on. Sorry, before we get to the Holy Spirit. I do want to say, guys, something is very important here, that you are here because someone prayed for you. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. You are here because someone prayed for you. Your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, your grandmother. Someone prayed for you. Your wife, your child. But you know who else prayed for you? Jesus. Hebrews 7 says, Jesus is able... Listen to this. Able to save to the uttermost. Not scared, uttermost. Like pull you right out of death into life. Why? Because he lives to make intercession for you. Oh my goodness. Praise the Lord. Okay, who's feeling all right? So that's good news, guys. So who's better to pray for you? Me or Jesus? Come on. So we got Jesus. He's living to make intercession for you. He's sitting right next to the Father the whole time. Do you know why? Because we need it. But then there's the third person involved in this whole story. The Holy Spirit. Some of the older translations, the Holy Ghost. Because you can't see him, but you can't see any of them. But I love the Holy Ghost. I love that just like, so every now and then the AV guys get it wrong and it's goat. Or something. We don't want to do that. So the Holy Ghost, listen to this. Luke 24, Jesus, I'm not going to put it up, but Jesus called the Holy Spirit the promise of the Father. What better promise than to give you the very person of the Holy Spirit? When last did you get up in the morning and say, morning, Holy Spirit? He lives within you. Listen to this. Ephesians 1:13, Paul writes to the church and he says, when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own. You are his own. That's quite love language there, right? You're mine. Come on. By giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The promise. Now through him, we cry, Abba, Father. His cry within us is a cry of Abba, Father. Romans 8, 26 and 27. I've got a lot of verses. Are you okay with this? Because we can't pray. The whole idea is to have a lot of verses. Because we actually don't want to build anything on except for on the Bible. Amen. Romans 8, 26. And the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, help us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray. So who of you guys know what God wants you to pray? Don't put up your hand. Wrong answer. We don't know. I'm just joking. But I'm trying to make this point. We actually don't know what to pray. So no one is ever good at prayer. You get that guy when Declan closes his eyes and he lifts his head to heaven and he says, Father, there's something in him that I can hear that heaven is responding. But it's not because he's good in prayer. It's because he's okay with the awkward and the uncomfortable of not seeing, but believing. Come on, guys, we never graduate from this place of learning, of being a student, of being hungry and thirsty. Amen. But the Holy Spirit, next, the rest of the verse, but the Holy Spirit prays for us. Again, who else is praying for us? Oh my goodness. With groanings that cannot be expressed in words. There's groans in your belly, guys, that you cannot express. What are those groans? Verse 27, the Father, praise the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. So there's groans in your belly, groaning the will of God from the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father, agreeing the will of God over your life, day after day. Day after day, we die. Die after die. Yes. Death after death. So the Holy Spirit is praying within us. So I want to say to you this morning, you want to. For us to say, I want to be a man or a woman of prayer, is saying, I want to be a person of the presence. I want to be a person who knows my way to the Father, who knows the Son, and who's acquainted with the Spirit within me. That's what prayer means. It means to know how to be close with God, to be near to God. I love Psalm 75. I think it says, your nearness, O God, is my good. That's what I count as good, your nearness. Not a boat trip in the Bahamas, not a new gun, or a surfboard, or the latest, greatest, anything, but your nearness. Sorry, guys. We love you. Oh, hold on. We love you guys. So if you open your scriptures, you read from Genesis, and we're not going to do that today, right through to Revelation, you will see that every hero in the Bible was a man or a woman of prayer. They walked with God. They talked with God. They heard God. And the man who we want to learn from, Jesus, was even more so a man of prayer. And I want to, just one echo out of the Old Testament, Moses, who said, Lord, if your presence do not go with us, please don't send us. May we be a people of the presence. We say, Lord, I come before you and I want to walk with you. I don't want to go anywhere without you. Amen. God made us for prayer, guys. For us to see the power of God in our lives, we got to get comfortable with His presence, acquainted with His presence. And we do that in the place of prayer. Ian Bounds, a man respected for his prayer life, wrote about 8 books on prayer. He said, it was worth a trip from heaven to earth to teach man the great lesson of prayer. So let's quickly look at the life of Jesus. What did He teach us? We're not going to look at corporate prayer today. I mean, like, there's amazing stories in Scripture, but I want to look at personal prayer this morning. And what can we learn from the life of Jesus? You guys ready? Come on. Come on, come on, come Lord. Okay, Mark 1:35. It says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Before daybreak. That's quite early. In the summer, it's even more earlier. Now that you think about it, I just thought of that. It's more earlier than in the winter, but it's easier. The point is, Jesus prayed early. There's a couple of lessons we can learn from Jesus' life. He had a time to pray, and he had a place to pray. He would go to a solitary place. So I want to ask you this morning, when you pray, when do you pray? Do you have times that do you have a time you set out daily to meet with the Lord? And do you have a place you go to daily where you can meet with the Lord? Now, some of us have smaller homes than others. Some of us have more kids than others, which means if we want to pray, we don't have enough rooms to send everyone into. So everyone kind of goes into a corner. That guy, sometimes JC at least has his own room for now, but he gets to go into his room. Eli kind of in the lounge. I'm there on the table. Sammy's in our room. Jedi is like trying to pray with someone usually. But Phil goes to his bathroom every morning. He goes into his bathroom. It's already shared now. So. But he's my hero. Every morning when I think it's too hard to get up, after I thought of Jesus rising from the dead, I think of Phil. I'm like, my goodness, Phil gets into his bathroom, gets his little blanket, gets his Bible, and he prays. Guys, let us not forsake the place of prayer. Find a time, find a place. Some of you guys are driving to work for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Put off the podcasts and this and that. Pray. That's very good. Yo. That's very good. Do you have a place? Do you have a time when you pray? It's a plea that I want to put on you almost this morning. Like, find a place daily. It must be a place in a time that you are not willing to sacrifice. Because if Jesus needed it, how much more do we need it? I'm going to say it again. If Jesus needed to get early before his Father, how much more do we need it? A time and a place. Some of you goes and runs. Put some soft worship on. Get in the place of prayer. Do it there. Some of us often need motion. So it's fine. Go for your walks. But find those places of prayer. Amen. Come on. Some of us pray late at night. That's also amazing. Go for it. I'm not saying you have to pray early in the morning. It's not instructive, but it's an indication of a very good habit. Amen. Yo, that's amazing again. Come on. Next one, Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. So first thing, Jesus had a daily time for prayer, a daily place for prayer. But then Jesus also prayed often. Jesus prayed often. He withdrew from to draw near to. As we go into our day, you're at work, married, got kids. Like Jesus, it's good to often withdraw from those places. Find moments where you can commune with the Father. Keep aligning your heart, keep aligning your head, keep aligning your life with the Jesus. I want to say there's not enough. You can't pray enough. Amen? You can't pray enough. I was reading a little verse. This is especially for Eric. Listen, guys. So Revelation 5 verse 8 says, and this is now Jesus. When he took the scroll, there was four living creatures. This is for the, come on, like end time vibes, guys. This is heavenly. This is actually heavenly worship and heavenly prayer. place. The four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And each one had a harp. In other words, they were worshiping. And they held gold bowls filled with incense. Come on. Who loves incense? Come on. So Exodus, we're not going to get into that, but in Exodus, they burnt the incense. And the incense, in retrospect, was this picture of prayers rising up. And listen to this, the last line. And the incense are the prayers of God's people. And the elder, I don't know how this works. I'm not going to try to even unpack this thing, but the elders somehow hold the bowls and administrate it. This. Now, if you think of a fool who gets requests day after day from 100 churches all over the world, he, as an elder, he needs to administrate these requests. You know, it seems like, in a way, there's this bit of administration happening in heaven by the elders, but they're holding the prayers. Guys, don't stop praying. Every prayer goes straight. Come on. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes there's something happening, and I'm not going to get into that today. But keep praying. Pray often. I love Psalm 141. This is also a special verse. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, Lord, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. So as we come day and night to night and day, often, let our prayers rise. Guys, let our prayers rise. It actually also means you don't have to burn incense anymore because your prayers are the incense. Quick word of caution there. Can I just throw it in? No Old Testament tradition really can substitute the New Covenant relationship. So be careful to do things Jewish styles because it feels cool. Press into Jesus. Jesus never taught us to do these things. Yes, he did it because he was a Jew. Amen. If you struggle with that, I'm happy for coffees maybe in 2 weeks' time, guys. The next thing Jesus did is he taught us to pray for provision. Taught us to pray for provision. He said, look at the birds, look at the little, seek first the kingdom of God, seek first my righteousness. In the same way when he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're asking for the Lord's kingship in our life. We're here to build God's kingdom, not our own. What's that fund where people put money in? Yeah, all those funds. Holiday homes. We're not here to build our own kingdoms. Sorry, guys. I know we want to sometimes hear, like, God wants to bless us, primarily with a wonderful earthly life. But some of us will suffer till the end. And we need to know that. Amen. No, it's a soft amen. Say, oh, come on, amen. Come on. We're asking for the Lord's kingdom, which means we're looking to Him as our provider. Amen? Not us hustling as hard as we can. Yes, we want to be faithful in the workplace, but we want to look to God as our Father, as our provider, the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hill. Husbands, fathers, mothers, everyone, each one of us, young guys in your 20s, don't spend your peak simply on building business. Be careful. Weigh it up before the Lord. Constantly ask the Lord, Lord, how much should I work? Amen. That's good as well, guys. Come on. Paul adds a little context to it, and he says in Philippians 4:16, he says, don't worry about anything. Say anything. Do you know what anything means? It means nothing. Sorry, me. It means everything. Well, it depends on which angle you look at it. But he says, don't worry about anything. That's a heart instruction. Who of you guys know that? Who of you got worried this week? Only, wow, blessed few. Guys, so we don't, he said, listen to this. Instead, pray about, wow. So not just about my kid's salvation or growing in my patience or, no, about everything. Everything you thinking you have to worry about, your pension fund, your the government, the oil price, the this, the that, anything you worry about. I don't know what you guys worry about. Some people want to get married, all those, that's real stuff. When you go to school, I've got exams. Some of us need to have deadlines in the workplace, make big decisions to move places and this and that. Pray about it, guys. Listen to this. Tell God what you need. Step one. Step two, thank Him for all He's done. He's already done it, guys. So when we had to move to Cape Town, I remember we had to find a house. My wife looks at me one day and she goes like, you know, the Lord already has it. We just have to now see it. Or like, identify it. This is not manifesting vibes, guys. This is the Lord's providence. So you can't claim and frame. What did Jesus teach us to pray? Claim and frame. No, He said, Lord, your will. Your kingdom. Sometimes your will is going to be a small house. Amen? Sometimes your will is going to be that I live with a lot of people. Sometimes your will is that I'm going to be in a bigger congregation. Oh, I love small congregations where everyone knows my name. See, someone relates. Sometimes God's will is going to be not what we will. Can I say that again? Often, actually, God's will is going to be not what we will. So learning to pray, in essence, is learning to say yes to God's will. So next pastoral coffee or anything, when you want to make a decision, do you really want to hear what God wants for you? Or do you want someone's approval for what you want? Come on. That's another good one, guys. Dana, write it down. We need to remember. And then, listen to verse 7. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything. Again, anything. We can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We see this theme of we just being in Christ the whole time. He's being in us. His words being in us. And then we will have a peace that is far above our understanding. It doesn't make sense, in other words. We're going to have peace even when you don't get paid. Come on. Come on. Lift up the standards, guys. We've got to lift our eyes. Which brings us to the next point, that Jesus looked up when He prayed. You know, when He fed the 5,000, He looked up into heaven. He got off his iPhone. He looked up. He looked up into heaven. He lifted His gaze off the things. And Jesus was the man who understood that as we lift our eyes to heaven, the things of this world grow strangely dim. He did it when He fed the 5,000. He did it before He raised Lazarus from the dead. He did it in the garden in John 17. He lifted up His eyes. Guys, we need to learn to lift our gaze to the Father. Come on. Come on. We need to look to our Father. Set our mind on things above. Lifting us. Fixing our gaze. Getting our eyes off the things of this world. It means we need to stop scrolling so much, actually. Because those things are a little bit like McDonald's. They spoil your appetite. Next interesting thing that Jesus did, He prayed a whole night. He had an all-night prayer session. Come on, who likes all-night prayer sessions? I probably won't. Why? One hand. Come on. Praise the Lord for my friend there. Jesus did a whole nighter before He chose His 12 apostles. Whole nighter. And this for me is probably one of those little beautiful things that I see in Jesus. And in John 5:19, He says, guys, let me explain to you why I do these things. I tell you the truth. Now, this is Jesus, guys. The one who is the Word, who was God, who was in the beginning, who became flesh. He says, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, the Son also does. What an attitude. What a mentality. What a posture that Jesus come. And Paul just like massages it in Philippians 2 verse 5. And he says, guys, listen here. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. But he humbled himself in obedience to God. Not my will, but yours. That's the heart of a prayer life, guys. We're humbling ourselves. I'm going to move to the last two, three things. Jesus prayed with thanksgiving. He thanked the Father for always hearing him. When he broke the bread and the fish, he thanked God. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, first he thanked God because he knew the Father is listening. I want to encourage you, know that the Father is listening and thank him for it. Jesus understood Psalm 100, that there's this entrance to the courts of God with thanksgiving. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. Practice that when you go into the presence of God. Thank him, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I thank you for your name, Yahweh, the one who's gracious and compassionate. I thank you that you are slow to anger, rich in love. I thank you. I thank you for your kingdom. I thank you for your will, that your will is perfect. I thank you. And Jesus said prayer is a joyfulness place. John 16:24, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Now, this is not an earthly joy. This is not a happiness because I got a bonus this month, or, oh man, I found my favorite socks, or I ate a nice steak. This is not that type of joy. Listen to John 17, verse 13. Now, Jesus praying to his Father, he says, now I'm coming to you, Father, and I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. This just gives us a whole different lens on the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not we being joyful, but it's finding Jesus and the Father in the place of prayer. Finding his will, asking for his will, seeing his will, getting prayers answered because we're praying his will, and finding joy in the one in whom we pray to. Jesus called us a house of prayer. We are building, Jesus is building his church, and each one of us are living stones, as Peter calls us. And as each one of us becoming men and women of prayer, we are being built up into a house of prayer. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed for the Father's glory, and he prayed again for the Father's will. And I want to say to you, some of us are often in, and maybe even today be in the dark season. You're in the place of crushing. Garden of Gethsemane, it means like it's a garden of olive trees where the oil was produced. The oil that we need in our lamps is often found in the place of crushing, the darkest seasons of our lives. And there's two things that Jesus prayed for. Firstly, he prayed for God to get the glory. And I want to encourage you guys with a second thing that I see Jesus prayed in John 17. And he says, I pray that they will all be one. He prays for unity. I just felt prophetically, actually last night as I read this verse, I think there's some of us who doesn't prioritize unity enough. We're holding on to, and you might not call it an offense, but it is an offense. We're allowing walls between fellow brothers and sisters and saints. But I want to challenge each one of us to forgive quickly. Because Jesus said, may I be forgiven as I forgive. Forgive quickly, guys. Pray for unity. And lastly, on that cross, Jesus prayed with loud cries and tears. And again, what does Jesus do in Luke 23? He says, Father, forgive them. Immediately he models us. He forgives his immediate enemies. And then Jesus goes through something that I think often we go through as well. But Jesus didn't know sin. We know sin, guys. You guys know that we are sinful. If you don't know, I'm sorry to be the bearer of good news. But we are sinful. And often I hear guys struggle with this thing, but Jesus in bearing our sin, the weight of the world, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? As the Father turned from him. But listen to this. How did Jesus then respond? He pushed through that darkness. He pushed through the turning. He pushed through the pain. And he trusted his Father, and he said this, Father, into your hands. In Luke 23:46, into your hands I commit my spirit. May our lives be lives where we say, Lord, into your hands I commit my life. I commit my day. I commit my thoughts, my dreams. Everything is, I lay it into your hands. I don't want my will anymore. Philippians 2:8, and I'm going to land with this. Can we stand as I read this? And Jesus humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. So this morning, I want to make a call on each one of us to make a fresh commitment to be men and women of prayer. Not because prayer is a duty or a religious activity or it's a way to earn God's favor, but because we were made for prayer and we were made for His presence. If Jesus needed it so often, and so daily, and so earnestly, how much more do we need it? How much more, Lord, do we need to get before your throne daily? I actually want to make a call, and I want to ask if you want to say this morning, Lord, I want to go deeper into you. I want to know the width, the height, the length, and the breadth of your love. As I come as your child, I want to be a child of prayer. I want to be a child of your presence. I want to know my way to you day after day. That's what I want, Lord. I want you to maybe just this morning even come to the front, step out of your chair, just come and let, as Michael starts to play something, I want us to just step out this morning. Step out of where we are so that we can step into what God has for us this morning. And then I want us to pray just a couple of moments. So Lord, I want to go deeper into the place of prayer. I want to make a fresh commitment to the prayer life, Lord Jesus. Yeah, let's keep stepping out, guys. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you are here this morning and you're not sure if you are right with God, if you need to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. As we've spoken this morning about Him being the way to the Father, we first need to make right with the Lord. If you are here this morning and you need to say, Jesus, I want to surrender my life. Maybe you have never done it, or maybe you have done it, but you actually have run back into your own world. You've followed your own will. If that is you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to just put up your hand, and we want to pray with you to surrender your life to Jesus. as we read this morning, to believe and receive the Holy Spirit and be sealed with Him to become a child of God. So I want to give you guys an opportunity and just do that this morning before we take a moment and pray together. You know if it's you, because your heart is a little bit stressed now. Heart is pounding in your chest. And if that's you this morning, I want to just ask you to be brave, be bold. Just put up your hand. Just put up your hand. Yeah, I see that hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, awesome. Come on. Thank you. Another one. Guys, this is what we live for. It's just to be right with Jesus. He made the way. We just somehow get the privilege of being a little bit part of it, and then we all walk together again. Just can we gather around? I don't know. Is there anyone else who want to make sure? Guys, if you walk out this building and a truck smashes you to death, do you know? Are you sure you're ready to meet Jesus? Anyone else? We don't want to miss the moment. Come on. Just check with the guy next to you if he's ready to go to heaven. Everyone is ready to go to heaven. Come on. Okay. Let's pray together with these guys. Come on. Yeah, Jesus, we come before you this morning to give you our lives, to surrender to you all of me. I believe in you this morning. I put my faith in you, and I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for new life. Thank you, Jesus, for your Spirit that seals me and it makes me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for a hope. Thank you, Lord, for a hope this morning. Lord, I pray that you fill each one this morning with your Spirit. Baptize us with your Spirit and with your fire, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Lord, and may our hearts burn for you. Just keep praying just for a moment. Just keep praying for a moment. Lord, fill us. Lord, we posture our hearts this morning. If you can, you know the Bible actually says, pray in the Spirit at all times. Now, for some that will mean, and I know this is a contentious topic for a lot of people, but praying in the Spirit can mean praying in tongues or praying led by the Spirit. So just allow the Holy Spirit to lead you now, just for a moment. Just come before the Lord. And Lord, and come before your Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Lord, we pray this morning, holy be your name. Let your name be set apart in our hearts. Let your name be the highest name in our hearts. Let your name, Lord, and your glory be the highest priority in our lives. Let your name be the name above every name in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our dreams. Let we live, Lord, for the declaration of your name. Even in pain, Lord, let it be for your name. In gain, let it be for your name, Lord. For your name. Hallowed be your name, Lord. Lord, we want to pray, Lord, this morning, let your kingdom come. We want your kingdom to come in our lives. Your righteousness. Lord, we're not here to build our own kingdoms. We want you, Jesus, as the King of Kings, to rule and reign in our hearts. We ask for your rulership, your leadership, your reign in every part of our lives, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we want to pray for your will to be done. We want to declare this morning, not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours, Lord. Not my will, but yours. We know your will is good. We know your will is pleasing. And we know your will is perfect. Perfect. Even when it feels late to us. Even if it is in the form of suffering. Even if it's in the sweetest season, Lord. Even when though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, we know that your will is perfect. Not our will. Lord, I pray that your will take a hold of our hearts. Let's ask that this morning. Lord, may your will take a hold of my heart. A hold of my thoughts. Your will is holy. Our Lord, we ask for your will. Lord, I ask that you will give us today our daily bread. Give us your provision. Give us what we need. We look unto you for our provision. I actually feel as I pray that there are some guys here who realize they've been looking at their bank accounts too much. They've been looking at investments and this and that too much. The Spirit is turning our eyes back to our Father. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Give us our daily bread. Lord, and we pray, forgive us our sins and our trespasses this morning. Become repentant. Become contrite. Become humble. Forgive us, Lord. We want to be a people of repentance and confession and humility. Who constantly, like David says, Lord, search me and seek me if there's any wicked way in me, Lord. Lord, and we want to forgive as we forgive. So we want to be forgiving. Lord, I pray for forgiving hearts. I pray for mercy to flow from us. And even this morning, Lord, I pray that if there's any unforgiveness in a heart in this room, that your mercy will break that thing down now in the name of Jesus. If you know you've got unforgiveness, there's this fight. I told James in the week, you know, there's this guy whose face always came, whenever Dan says, I must forgive someone. You know that morning, on a Sunday morning, like now, this is that morning, that moment. You got that guy in your life. This is important stuff, guys. This is the thing that can separate you from walking in your destiny. This will keep you in sin if we don't do this thing. So I had this guy who keeps on popping up, his face. It's embarrassing to say it, eh? But it's important to acknowledge it. There are people in our lives we need to forgive, guys. So let's lavish forgiveness on them this morning. Oh my goodness. God died for you, guys. While you were his enemy. Some of these guys are not even enemies. They were just annoying. And some of them had real hurt. Real offenses. I don't want to minimize that. So Lord, right now, right there where you are, as well, Lord, we forgive. Like you forgave us. We want to ask, Lord, that your love will flow from our hearts to each of those people. That your mercy. Will take over. Yahweh, full of mercy, gracious, slow to anger and rich in love. Your name again, covering, loving, forgiving. And then, Lord, we want to pray, lead us. Not into temptation. Lead us in righteousness. Lead us by your truth. Lead us by your word. Lead us by your spirit. Lead us with leaders that is following hard after you, Jesus. Lead us. And let us not fall into temptation. But deliver us, Lord, from evil. The evil in our hearts, Lord, deliver us. Deliver us, Lord, from evil. Deliver us from the things, the sins, the weights, the distress. Deliver us, Lord, so that we can run hard after you. Lord, for yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. And yours is the glory forever and ever. Lord, I want to declare that over each home, over each heart, over each mind, over every family in this place, every individual. Yours is the kingdom, Lord. Yours is the power and yours is the glory. And I pray that our lives, Lord, will give great glory to our Father. Let our lives give great glory to our Father, Lord. May our prayer lives give great glory to our Father. May our daily lives give great glory to our Father. May we bear much fruit and give great glory to our Father. May we walk in love and so give great glory to our Father. Lord, may truth be on our lips and give great glory to our Father. May we be a people led by the Spirit and give great glory to our Father. May we learn to abide in you, Jesus, and give great glory to our Father. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.